Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai, your host for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm here for round two with Dr. Mary Hyland, who's president of Hyland Consulting. We're here to do a slightly deeper dig into the issue of board leadership, executive development, board leader development in particular. How are you doing, Mary?
I'm doing great, Mickey. Hope you are too. Thanks for having me.
Mary, you have a nonprofit-oriented podcast of your own, right?
Yes, I do. It's called Inspired Nonprofit Leadership.
And is it strictly about leadership? What's the breadth of the topics that you cover on your podcast?
It's about any tips or strategies or lessons learned. I have executive directors on from time to time too, that would help you be more effective as a leader in a nonprofit, whether you're a board member leader or an executive director leader, or maybe you're in another leadership role in your nonprofit, but that's who the intended audience is, to just help you have the tools and tips and inspiration, frankly, to make your job better and easier.
Yeah, very cool. I can't wait to check it out.
Thank you.
And where can we take this conversation? Because as I said last time, there's certainly no shortage of things to talk about when it comes to board leadership and board leadership development.
I think sometimes it's important for board members and executives to understand why boards even matter. I don't know if you'd like to chat about how we know boards make a difference, and then a little bit about how they might think about, executives could think this about the leadership role of the board and kind of what buckets that falls into. Would that be helpful, do you think?
Absolutely. I think that there's I still run into boards who think that their primary purpose for existing is to vote on the minutes and then go home. And I'm exaggerating, obviously, but yes, let's please do talk about those things. How do we get the larger conversation on what does a board do? How do we get that started?
Well, I think it's like Simon Sinek says, start with why. I like to start with why when I'm working with boards and executives, because people need to have a reason to invest their time. And we were talking in the last episode about leadership development, and you have to figure out why is it worth doing. And, we don't have a lot of research on governing that's practical. There's a lot of, I believe in evidence-based information for organizations, not solely, but I think it's important to know when we have it. And we have learned from research that there's five ways that an effective board, and that's the caveat, Mickey, that they have to be effective, that an effective board really makes a difference for the nonprofit that they serve. And that is, they're not in any particular order, but I'm going to share these because I think it's so important for executives particularly to understand the potential of their board to really add value, and for board members to know that they're really important. And the first is organizational decisions. When you have an effective board, as an executive, and you're really partnering with your board on strategic issues, you're going to make better decisions together for the future of your organization. And of course, that really matters because you care about the mission, and the decisions you make every day are what impact your ability to achieve it. The second way that effective boards make a difference is community engagement. You need reach, you need social capital as a nonprofit. And, when I was CEO, I'm one person, for heaven's sakes. I can't manage my nonprofit and be out in the community leveraging myself to connect with as many people as my board could. So if the average board in the United States has 15 people on it, think about how much community engagement could happen for your nonprofit if your board members were effective. And I'm not just talking about fundraising. I'm talking about ambassadorship, about your mission. The third way that we know effective boards are important is additional resources. And again, yes, money's important, but that can be things. It can be people. there's lots of other resources that we need to run an effective nonprofit. I have a story about one of my clients who had a new board member who was in his 30s. He wasn't hugely established as a business owner, so he didn't have a lot of money himself, but they were a domestic shelter and they were in desperate need of mattresses. And this new board member had a personal relationship with the president of a mattress company and got all new mattresses donated to the nonprofit. So that was hugely valuable, but it wasn't cash. So bringing in resources is a way that board members can really add value. The fourth is reputation. I think, Mickey, we've all read stories in the newspaper about boards behaving badly, sometimes corporate boards, but unfortunately, those are the stories we tend to see, the negative ones.
Right.
But, you know, when you're a board member out there, you need to remember that when people hear you're on that board, they look at you and who you are and how you are reflects back on the nonprofit that you're serving. So reputation can be very positive because it can build the credibility of your nonprofit in your community. And finally, and this is the one I love the most, is board members have impact on the mission, on the communities they serve. An effective board makes change happen because with the executive director, some boards, they don't even have an executive director. What they do is they envision a better future for the community aligned with their mission, hopefully, and they do that if they're effective, and they help make change happen for all of us. And so I don't know if you can tell, I really care about boards. I think there's huge untapped potential in our boardrooms, and this impact, the ways boards matter and can have help get results, is so important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know I share that passion with you. I think obviously the board is the real powerhouse, the real engine of what makes nonprofits churn. And stronger boards can only mean stronger outcomes.
Right.
Yeah.
Better advancement of your mission.
Right. Yeah. So once we clear up, you know, the role and the functionality of a modern board, you know, no longer is the expectation to show up and just vote for minutes. Once we get rid of that notion and we tell folks that they're expected to be brand ambassadors, that you know, community outreach is part of the game. What was the number one thing you mentioned on that list?
Organizational decisions.
Organizational decisions, right.
Strategic partners. So when you're recruiting for your board, you want to think about these things. You want people who think strategically.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. But yeah. There's something else that you touched on that I wanted to try to talk about for a minute, was that the notion that an executive committee might inadvertently supplant the function for the entire board. And I've seen that happen once, where the executives would get together for their quick 30-minute meeting before the board meeting. And then they would simply tell the board what the executives had decided to do. And I think that's a huge mistake. And how do we avoid that?
Well, there's some people out there in the world of governance, people like me who consult with boards, who think that we shouldn't even have executive committees. Now, I will say that I think having an executive committee can be helpful, particularly to an executive director, but not a committee that meets every month, not a committee that pre-processes issues that come before the board. That function should go away. You do not want an executive committee that is a surrogate board. The executive committee is a group of the leaders of the board, and sometimes the executive director may want to just sit down with them as consultants and advisors about an issue. Some they need to have very high trust together, because no executive is going to bring to a board executive committee their concerns to hash through together if they don't trust what that committee is going to do with it. But I do think that the executive committee has a role in helping the executive director to think through things and think through what's appropriate to bring to the board maybe and what isn't. And I think the other role an executive committee can play is to lead the executive director's performance evaluation, although you might have a personnel committee or an ad hoc committee to do that. But I think an executive committee, the leaders of the board, is an appropriate place for that responsibility to rest. Of course, the whole board needs to be involved. But other than that, I don't think the executive committee anymore should be making decisions between board meetings. You know, in the old days, I've been around a very long time, Mickey, longer than I think I care to admit, but we didn't have cell phones and email the way we do now. And it made sense for a nonprofit to have a leadership decision-making group in a pinch. Now mm-hmm. those things can be decided in conference calls and via email right. in ways that make an executive committee, frankly, for that function obsolete, in my opinion. So
I admit, when you first say that there may be no need for executive committees, that maybe we should do away with the executive committee anymore. There's a part of me that's taken aback by that, because it just seems like such an entrenched portion of the way boards have functioned for so long.
Yes, it is.
And here's where I'm going to use myself as a case study here. And maybe you can tell me that I've either done something wrong or done something correctly, where I try to steer the executives not to do the decision-making thing, but I was part of one board where the executives would get together just to frame the upcoming conversation and go over the issues that were in front of us and, you know, try to steer away from the rocks, so to speak, you know, and make sure that we were framing the conversation for the board so that during the next meeting, whenever it was, we were all on the same page with the way that then got discussed. So no voting, no decisions, but we're saying, let's just at least be aware of the issues and figure out how to frame them the correct way for the board.
I think that's perfect, Mickey. Oh, when I was
thank
CEO,
goodness.
yeah, I use my executive committee that way. Uh-huh. But you know, you got to realize you got to have a lot of high trust with your executive, which of course, and ideally you do when you have an effective board. Right. But that's why I don't recommend to get rid of the executive committee, because that function you just described, I think is a really wonderful way that an executive committee can add value. But, you know, getting back to the why, I think that with any structure in the board, whether it's the executive committee or any other committee, you need to start with why. What is the purpose of this group? Why do we need it? It shouldn't just be there by default because we've always done it that way, but we should be purposeful about the structures we have on our boards and be very clear about what is their function and how do we benefit from the work that they do, and help know that helps you also know who should be on that group.
Right. Mary, we've got a few minutes left in this particular episode. I wanted to touch on an issue that I think is at the heart of board problems in general, which is, you know, we're all, like you said before, we're all busy. We're all professionals. We all have jobs. How do we stay motivated enough and energized enough so that we can pour our energy into the board and do the thing that the organization's counting on us to do?
I think it's all about the mission, Mickey, and I think that's why it's so critical that you recruit people who really deeply care about what you're doing and have a personal connection to it. I think that one of the challenges that both board orientation and board recruitment processes have are that they're not personalized enough to the individual. And we need to learn about the people that we're inviting to be on our board before we invite them to be on the board. And it isn't just about what's their skill set, what profession are they in, what geographic area are they in. It's about why do they care. Right. And when we care about something, we're willing to invest time there. And while I realize people are busy, the other challenge here is your mindset. If you approach recruiting board members with a mindset that people are too busy to serve, that's the reality you're going to create for your nonprofit. I've seen it over and over again.
Huh.
So I think that we need to think about who cares about our mission, who could care when we seek out board members. We don't have to have huge boards, but we need to have the right people on our board in the right seats, and they need to care enough to be able to say, I'm willing to devote time and energy to this. And if your board's efficient and you're doing things effectively and you've got good systems in place, it doesn't have to take a ton of time, but you need people who are willing to invest time. And I think, you know, we can't just use that mindset as an excuse for people and grab anybody. And we could have a whole episode, Mickey, yeah. on board recruitment. Yeah, I've yeah. done a lot of work in that area. But anyway, people can talk to me about it if they need help.
And absolutely. And I was going to say, I hope there's an opportunity in the future to actually have that conversation. And maybe we can address that later in the year.
That would be great.
Excellent.
I always love to talk about these things because people don't need to suffer or struggle. There are solutions to having an effective board.
I agree. And to me, if you hit it right, and the analogy that I use is kind of like being on a band, you know, when everyone's sitting there clicking on the same rhythm for the same
right.
purpose, you know, you look back at the end and you're like, that was fun. And,
yes.
And that's, to me, is the goal. You shouldn't walk away from a board experience thinking it was a headache. You should walk away from a board experience and thinking that was really rewarding and, you know, and that you had a good time doing it.
Right.
Mary, thank you. If a listener wanted to contact you again, how would they do that?
They could email me directly at mary@highlandconsulting.org. That's H-I-L-A-N-D consulting.org. Or they can go to my website, highlandconsulting.org, and there's a tab for Talk with Mary. Or they can even go to talkwithmary.com and sign up for a free consultation, and I'm happy to be available and support you and help you in any way. Not a sales pitch, just a chat to help you with a problem that you may be having.
Yep. Very cool. Thank you, Mary. This has been great. Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
And to our listener, thanks as always for listening to us. We really appreciate your company. And just on a quick personal note, I've noticed that a lot of listener numbers for podcasts on the whole have been crashing and diving since the onset of pandemic because people aren't commuting, so they don't listen to their podcasts anymore. And I'm finding that the Nonprofit Snapcast numbers are actually staying pretty even. So, you know, we like it that you're taking the time to visit with us. Thank you for being part of the family, and we hope you and yours are all staying safe out there. We'll see you with another episode in another few days. Thanks very much.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.